60 Minutes Past 8, Flock of Seagulls, I Ran on the Me, Myself, I theme to start there, and beautiful South there, as good as gold, which pleasantly pops up on my iPod shuffle this morning on the way to work at the Full English Breakfast Show. If you hadn't realised yet, the clocks go back in France this weekend, but possibly for the last time. The traditional changing of the clocks for winter time occurs this weekend at 3 a.m. on Sunday, October the 25th. The clocks go back 1 hour, giving most of us an extra hour in bed. But it could be the last time France undertakes the annual autumn ritual. In March last year, the European Parliament voted by a large majority in favour of stopping the changing of the hour from 2021. But following the vote, the Parliament specified that each EU member state would decide whether they would keep summertime or wintertime. In France, public opinion is resoundingly in favour of scrapping the hour change. A public consultation made early last year collected more than 2 million responses, with a majority of French voters wanting to stick with summertime. But guess what? COVID-19 has put a spanner in the works by disrupting the normal parliamentary timetables of most countries. The EU Parliament laid out an initial timetable for all member states to have taken a decision by April of this year, so that those who opt to stay on summertime can do so, and those who opt to remain on wintertime can as well. But as the pandemic raged in April, the hour change was not high on anyone's list of priorities, and most countries have not passed the necessary legislation. It's still possible the timetable could be altered, but it seems more likely the move will be postponed for at least another year. Oh no. Now, the hour change measure has been in place in the EU since 1976, but has been controversial for years. It was introduced to save energy, but some critics say that the change of the clocks has actually had negative effects on sleep and health. I'd much rather have an extra hour in the evening, because I mean, I come to work, it's dark anyway at all times of the year, well, possibly about 1 week in the summer, but it's normally pitch black, so I'd welcome the extra evening's light. And next week, I was looking outside last night, I think it's nearly dark at 6 o'clock, so by 5:30, it's going to be pitch black again, which is, well, a bit depressing, really. Still, at least we should have plenty of winter sunshine in this part of the world. Here's Gorillaz.
On FM and DAB Plus across the Côte d'Azur, on your phone and worldwide online, this is Riviera Radio with the latest local news for the south of France.
I'm Rob Harrison with the top stories across the Riviera. A number of people have been charged with terrorist offences in connection with the barbaric murder of schoolteacher Samuel Paty near Paris last Friday. Mr. Paty was decapitated by a radicalised Chechen refugee after he'd shown cartoons of the Prophet Muhammad to his students as part of a freedom of expression class. Two of those charged are students from the school who prosecutors say were paid €300 each by Mr. Paty's killer, Abdullah Anzorov, to identify him. Two of the killer's friends, who are said to have driven him to the scene of the murder, have also been charged. A parent of one of the students has also been charged along with the suspected leading Islamist militants. Nine other people who had been detained in the wake of the murder have been released without charge. Rallies in remembrance of Mr. Paty have once again been taking place all over France, and in particular in the streets of Conflans-Sainte-Honorine, where the teacher was murdered. A special ceremony honouring the dead teacher has taken place at the Sorbonne University in Paris in the presence of President Macron and other high-ranking French officials. Mr. Paty has been awarded a posthumous Légion d'honneur. The former French Prime Minister Edouard Philippe has appeared before a parliamentary commission of inquiry looking at the country's handling of the coronavirus pandemic. Mr. Philippe is one of four former French ministers who are being investigated as part of the inquiry. The Health Minister Olivier Véran and his predecessor Agnès Buzyn are also being probed. Last week, the homes of both Mr. Philippe and Mr. Véran were searched by French police. The inquiry into the coronavirus crisis was opened by the French Court of Justice of the Republic following scores of complaints that authorities failed to act fast enough. The Paris Prosecutor's Office has opened a separate investigation into accusations of manslaughter and endangering the lives of others. Nearly 34,000 people have died from coronavirus since the start of the pandemic. The government sets to announce an extended list of cities and towns that will be subject to curfew restrictions in response to the spiralling second wave of COVID-19. A government spokesman says the French Prime Minister Jean Castex decided that new measures were required at Wednesday's cabinet meeting. Several departments are set to be placed in the maximum alert red zone, with a curfew coming into force from 9 p.m. until 6 a.m. in line with other areas of the country, such as Paris, which had restrictions imposed last Saturday. The mayor of Nice, Christian Estrosi, has warned that the Alpes-Maritimes could be on the expanded list after revealing the ICU hospital beds in the department are reaching saturation points. Mr. Castex will hold a press conference at 5 p.m. this afternoon to outline the new measures. New rapid coronavirus tests are being introduced at Nice Côte d'Azur Airport before the end of the month. Testing will be mandatory for passengers flying to the United States or Italy, and also for people arriving from high-risk destinations. The antigenic tests deliver results in around 15 minutes, but there's some debate about their accuracy. And nearly 3 weeks after Storm Alex swept through the region, causing hundreds of millions of euros of damage, local residents are still facing travel restrictions and a shortage of mains drinking water. A huge relief effort has been organised by the state, local authorities, charities and private groups, including 188 tonnes of bottled water, as well as water trucks and mobile waste treatment plants. Electricity has been restored in all the affected areas. Some villages are still without mains water or facing restrictions, and although all major roads in the Tine and Vestibule valleys have been reopened, authorities have advised motorists to be extremely cautious, as some surfaces may still be unstable. A number of diversions are still in force, and it's expected to be months before the road network in the affected areas is restored to anything like normal. The access to Saint-Martin-Vesubie is still described as difficult, with engineers working around the clock to restore the main roads to the village.
Riviera Radio, Sports News.
Football. In the European Champions League last night, Liverpool were 1-0 away winners at Ajax in Group D, while Manchester City beat Porto 3-1 in Group C. The shock of the night came in Group B, where Spanish giants Real Madrid lost 3-2 at home to Shakhtar Donetsk. Here's more from BBC Sports.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
Hello, I'm Andy Barwell at the BBC Sports Centre. Liverpool and Manchester City have both been in European Champions League action with their opening group games. Liverpool got off to a winning start in Group D with a 1-0 success away to the Dutch team Ajax. An own goal 10 minutes before half-time settled the match. Jurgen Klopp's side had to make a clearance off the line and Ajax hit a post, but the Liverpool boss seemed satisfied with the outcome.
It was not the most easy on the eye performance from both teams, I would say. Both teams can play better football, but especially in this competition. But it was tonight really tricky. The passing was difficult. And so you could see that. But we won it. We won the game. And I'm completely fine.
Manchester City started off their Group C campaign with a victory. City were 3-1 winners at home to the Portuguese side Porto. A well-deserved victory in the end, according to the former City player Nedim Onuwa.
I think it was important to get that first win on the board. And I think early doors, they didn't really seem as confident as maybe they would have been in times gone by. But to concede that early goal and to be able to come back straight away, I think it kind of settled their nerves a little bit. And then going forward, I think they very much deserved the 3 points.
Manchester United lost $90 million US dollars or £70 million in the period to June the 30th, 2020, as a direct result of the coronavirus pandemic. The figures are outlined in United's latest financial statement, which includes the period during which English football was completely closed down. Meanwhile, United's executive vice chairman, Ed Woodward, has distanced the club from reports about the creation of a new European Premier League, saying he didn't know where the story had come from. For more football news on the BBC, go to bbc.com/football.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
There are a stack of ties in Europa League tonight with Spurs at home to Lask in Group J, Arsenal visit Rapid Vienna in Group B, Nice travel to Bayer Leverkusen in Group C, Rangers visit Standard Liège in Group D, Celtic are at home to AC Milan in Group H, and Leicester host Zorya Luhansk in Group G. In the English Championship last night, Cardiff and Bournemouth drew 1-1, QPR lost 2-0 home to Preston, Brentford were 2-1 winners at Sheffield Wednesday, Stoke and Barnsley drew 2-2, and Watford beat Blackburn 3-1. Cricket. England will tour South Africa in November for a T20 one-day series. The South Africa Cricket Board has given the green light for the tour, and all games will be played behind closed doors. Rugby union fly half George Ford will miss England's match against the Barbarians on Sunday with a recurring Achilles tendon injury. Owen Farrell or Piers Francis will play at number 10, with Carl Sinclair and Ben Earl coming into the squad. England's non-test match against the Barbarians will be followed by the completion of their Six Nations campaign against Italy on October the 31st. The side will then play four tests against Georgia, Ireland, Wales and a yet-to-be-confirmed opponent on successive weekends from the 14th of November. Golf former world number one Adam Scott has pulled out of this weekend's Zozo Championship in California after testing positive for coronavirus. The 40-year-old says his focus is now on recovery and he hopes to be back in action soon. And in cycling, Ben O'Connor has won stage 17 of the Giro d'Italia, with João Almeida of Portugal retaining the overall lead. O'Connor broke away from the lead group of 14 riders on the final ascent of the day. Almeida holds a 17-second lead over Wilco Kelderman of the Netherlands. Meanwhile, Chris Froome lost more time on the leaders on day two of the Vuelta a España as he continues to struggle with his fitness. Froome fell back from the peloton with 48 kilometres to go on the hilly stage between Pamplona and Lucanberry. He's now almost 30 minutes off the lead, which is held by Primo Roglic. Marc Soler of Spain won the second stage.
The weather forecast, brought to you by Oyster, the world's finest blue water sailing yachts. Oyster yachts, beyond expectation.
For coastal areas up to 20 miles offshore the Maritime and the Var, the general situation is a deep tailwind over the eastern Atlantic, generating a moderate to strong southeasterly flux across the Mediterranean. Our winds are northeasterly, force 5 to 6. The sea is moderate. Visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Saint Jean Cap Ferrat, 1,021 millibars. And the outlook for Friday, rain, force 2 to 4, northeasterly winds, slight seas and moderate visibility. For North Corsica, winds are southeasterly, force 5 to 6. The sea is moderate, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Cap Corse, 1,020 millibars. And the outlook for Friday, rain, force 2 to 4, variable winds, slight seas and moderate visibility.
The weather forecast, brought to you by Oyster, the world's finest blue water sailing yachts. Oyster yachts, beyond expectation.
The weather forecast, brought to you by Servibat, the home closing specialist in Nice and Villefranche.
Partially cloudy with occasional showers and moderate to strong easterly winds. Top temperature 21 degrees, overnight lows 17 degrees with rain spreading across the region. Friday and the start of the weekend, rain tomorrow, clearing during the afternoon. Fine on Saturday, highs of 20 or 21 degrees.
The weather forecast, brought to you by Servibat Nice and Villefranche. For 30 years, specialising in home closures, windows, blinds, shutters, reinforced glazing and doors. Feel good at home. Visit servibat06.fr.
Finally, when is a sausage not a sausage? That's what the European Parliament is voting on this week. A group of farmers are hoping a bill will be passed that will ban vegetarian products from being called sausages or burgers. They say the measure is needed to prevent people from being misled into thinking the products contain meat. Oh dear, come on. But environmentalists and medical professionals believe such a ban would be a step backwards. Vegetarianism has grown in popularity in recent years, with vegetarian and vegan products becoming an increasingly common sight in shops and on restaurant menus. They're often marketed as veggie or vegan burgers, something farmers want changed. Now, under the proposed amendments to the farming bill, certain terms like burger and sausage could only be used to market items that actually contain meat. Isn't it to do with the shape of it, though? That would mean an end to veggie burgers or vegan sausages on menus and on packaging. And steak, schnitzel, wurst, hamburger, scallop and sausage would all be prohibited from use too, unless the products being sold actually contain meat. Well, I can see you can't sort of call a veggie burger a hamburger because it hasn't got any ham in it, but terms such as soy milk and vegan cheese were banned in the European Union 3 years ago after its top court ruled terms such as milk and cheese could not be used for non-dairy products. But these new amendments would take this a step further by prohibiting manufacturers from comparing plant-based foods to dairy with words such as style and like. Now, that would mean an end to seeing cheese-style or yogurt-like items on supermarket shelves. Hey, gotta love it, haven't you? The European Union, bendy bananas and all that. You're up to date. The news is on the website, rivieroradio.mc.